Today is April 19th, 2018, and this is episode number 458 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I got my writing slope.
Sweet.
Awesome, right?
Sweet.
To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, visit MacObserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at facebook.com/group/context machine.
Tell me about your slope.
I texted you a photograph of it.
Oh, that's why my Apple Watch is vibrating.
Yes. Not just because I'm happy to see you.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's, you know, I can live in hope. Oh, that looks fantastic.
Yeah, right?
I'm holding the picture up to the microphone so all the listeners can see it, too.
Indeed. You know, maybe I'll review it on my blog. TheGeekTales.com. Yeah. By the way, T-E-L-L-S, GeekTales.
Wait, I didn't have my pencil ready. Say that for me again.
GeekTales.com. T-E-L-L-S.com.
Got it.
Maybe I'll review it there. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm looking at this, and am I correct in assuming that it has polished metal edges?
Yeah, those are brass edges. Brass edges, burled wood. They just got a brass plaque plate that was never personalized, which is interesting. This thing is from, I think, 1858.
You could get it personalized now, have it engraved so it says something like Brian Chaffin Esquire the Third.
Yes, except for that would be a lie. It's like Geek Tells, that would not be a lie, but who wants that anyway? Yeah, so it's got my writing slope, but it's really interesting. It's got all these little brass, like I sent you a second photograph of the actual writing slope part of it.
Yes, I'm looking at that right now.
This would be where a gentleman would place his paper so he could write.
And it looks like it has is that a inlaid gilded pattern?
Yeah, it's black leather. That's actually a replacement. It's called a skiver or a skiver. Mm-hmm. Skiver, I think. And that's a replacement. It's a new one, but it's got gold. It's not an inlay. I'm sure there's a word for it. I know there's a word for it. I just don't know what that word is. But those are the sort of caps. Like you can sell one side of it has a lock.
Uh huh.
Right. The right side of it has a lock. So that part could be locked down, and that in the middle there is a hinge, and so that's where the box folds. But on the left side there's these little brass latches that are like super awesome.
Yeah, those are the ones that are closer to the corners.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, and there's these just fantastic elements. These fantastic little devices for keeping it shut. And then there's a drawer that slides out on the side. It's big enough for full-size stationery, so I was pretty stoked about that. It's held in place by a long brass rod.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just awesome. And then there are hidden drawers in it, although it seems like all of the a large percentage of the writing slopes from this period all had the exact same hidden drawer, so you know, wouldn't be all that hidden to me. But it's held in place with a spring lock.
Oh,
so just
cool.
A piece of metal that acts as a spring that slides into place when you push it, and to unlatch it, you lift up on one of the little walls that forms a a recess.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to hold things, right? So you lift up on this little wall, and that releases the spring latch, and then this panel pops open, and you've got these three hidden drawers. It's just this fantastic piece from another.
The one that you missed out on was so cool, but I think you found one that's even better.
Yeah, this one's better.
There's one detail that I know a lot of people would miss, but it really stands out to me. The screw heads for the hinges, mm-hmm. they're all aligned. That's a big thing to me.
They aren't they?
Yeah.
Huh. Look at that. They are all aligned.
Oh, and this looks fantastic with your waxes and seals in the drawer.
Yeah, thanks. So anyway, folks, that's my latest obsession.
That's very cool. All right. Well, I'm so glad we got to share all these photos on the show today.
Oh yeah. So the little wall that you lift. So the brass rod that I mentioned is in the bottom of the second photograph, bottom on the right side.
Yep. Okay. Oh, I see.
Yep. The knob fits in the hole that's in the other side of the photograph when the lid closes.
Okay.
Right. The wall that you lift up onto to release the hinge, the spring lock, is that little wall that's right above the, or right above and to the right of the knob, of the rod.
Okay. That's just really cool.
And it has a lock on the outside too. It is this big, glorious anachronism. This whole thing. And it was made at a time when, I mean, someone put a lot of time into making this.
So here's what I expect, and anything less will leave me disappointed. So profoundly disappointed, I may not recover. At CES next year, mm-hmm. instead of walking around with your laptop, I want you to walk around with this.
My dearest, looks at name tag, Andy. I am here at booth 357, and the dysentery is terrible.
Yeah, so you get lunch at the snack bar again.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Right. I don't know what the hell do our listeners think about us.
Well, they keep coming back, so they must think that either we're pretty awesome or that we need constant supervision.
True and true. Both of those probably true. Or one of those is definitely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So in the meanwhile, there's all these tech companies. This is a tech podcast, right?
Our
writing slope was very high tech for its day. That was actually my point with all these little latches and brass doohickeys.
Mm-hmm.
It was super high tech for its day.
Yeah. And that photo with your sealing wax supplies. Oh my God. It looks like it's staged for a period piece.
Well, I don't know about that. But anyway, thanks. I'm glad you like it. So these tech companies, right? Again, this is supposed to be a tech podcast, I think.
Right.
They have done this thing with a thing.
And that's this week's Op Context Machine.
I'm trying to find the actual press release. I think I might have closed it because, you know.
Because it was in the way of these awesome photos.
Yeah, that plus top men and all. It's the Cyber Tech Accord. Right. So this is a group of, was it 30 companies, 34 companies
mm-hmm.
who have essentially promised two things. They've promised to protect their customers and they've also promised not to help any government launch. Actually, I'll quote here. The companies will not help governments launch cyber attacks against innocent citizens and enterprises and will protect against tampering or exploitation of their products and services through every stage of technology development, design, and distribution. So two things. One, they're going to protect their customers, and two, they are saying very actively they won't help companies launch cyber attacks against innocent citizens and enterprises, which I guess is probably their way out, right?
So they can help launch cyber attacks against against guilty people.
According to this pledge, yes. That is certainly one way that one could interpret that. But I find this very interesting. Apple is not one of these signatories. 34 companies signed on to this. We've got, let me see if we can't look at the bigger companies. We've got ARM, Bitdefender. Who's CA? CA Technologies? Who, I never remember who they're an acronym for.
It used to be Computer Associates International.
Yes.
But now yes. It's just CA.
Right.
Whatever. So, yeah. So the CA doesn't stand for anything.
Cisco, Cloudflare, a company that I tend to respect, Dell, Facebook, GitHub, another organization that I respect, HP, Intuit, LinkedIn, Microsoft, Nielsen, which is interesting, Nokia, Oracle, SAP, and VMware, in addition to like another 20 plus companies. So 34 companies altogether. Those are the big names that stand out for me.
Okay.
So, Symantec, sorry. So Microsoft, so I guess the biggest of the big would be Microsoft, Facebook, Symantec, Nokia. Maybe they're still a thing. I'm not really sure. Cisco, Cloudflare, VMware.
And a little bit of irony, Facebook being on that list.
Yeah. Yes. Indeed. Who's going to protect Facebook users from Facebook? But whatever. I guess that's another question.
Yeah.
So this is interesting to me because it really seems to me that these companies are wanting to set themselves above and separate from the nation states in which they exist.
So, meaning like they think that they can dictate how their products are used by governments?
Well, so if a government were to pass a law requiring that a company, okay, so there's actually a whole lot to unpack here. First of all, We are in the midst of shadow cyber warfare or cold cyber war.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the second topic for today's show, but it's tied to this one. So we're in the middle of the shadow war with the Russians are basically laying the groundwork for a massive attack that they could launch in the future, and they're just basically trying to compromise every device that they can get their mitts on. And so that's okay. Happening. Of course, our own NSA regularly involves in various listening activities around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We've got China regularly engaging in cyber espionage, using state-sponsored actors to sometimes get everything from state secrets to commercial secrets in order to give it to their own often state-owned industry. Mm-hmm. And you've got Russia doing, you know, hacking everybody under the sun. And you've got the Israelis with an extremely capable cyber unit. You've got several European countries with equally good cyber warfare capabilities. You've got the North Koreans. It always baffles me how the North Koreans could have good hackers. Like, how does that even happen?
That's actually a good question.
People are kept off of the internet when the internet is not allowed to exist within the country. How exactly do the North Koreans become good hackers? But they do it.
Maybe they have like a special facility
for sure.
And then they take these people that they've deemed to have the skills to become really elite hackers.
And the families to threaten.
And the families to threaten. Sure. So, well, I mean, I bet for a lot of them, they don't even have to threaten the families because they look on their leader as if he were a god.
Well, there's that too.
So they go and go to this facility, and now they're just kind of locked away. So they're isolated from the rest of.
Well, we don't know that that's actually the case.
No, I'm totally making this up so that it's real. And so now they've locked all these people away. They have internet access so that they can very strictly monitored internet access so that they can participate in the various tasks they're assigned.
Sure, they go home. They go home at night. They're not being locked. Whatever the weeds are not the important bit. The important bit is the site that North Korea has its own cyber warfare group, and now you've got these 34 companies. And again, Apple is not a signatory to this.
You know, Apple not being a signatory doesn't seem like a huge thing to me.
No, I'm just trying to make it clear that.
Oh, I get it. Yep.
We're not talking about this because of Apple. We're talking about this because of the broader tech.
Yeah.
Group. Google is not a signatory either. For what that's worth. It's both. A lot of this is empty threats because they're saying that they're going to protect their customers.
But Microsoft already has a track record of not doing that in China.
But Microsoft has also gone to court to not have to turn over data to the U.S. that was being held elsewhere. So, yeah, Microsoft has got a kind of a mixed.
So it's complicated with Microsoft.
It is complicated. It's probably complicated with most of these companies. So on the one hand, the this vow to protect their customers, that's great and everything. But they're not, at no point are they saying that they won't follow the law. Like, for instance, if China requires access to user data, they're not saying that they're not going to do that. If America were to do the same thing, they're not saying that they would do that. If the Brit, you know, the Brits could certainly do it too. The Brits love trampling on civil rights in the name of security, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it feels like they're trying to set themselves above and separate from the nation states in which they exist, and I don't think that's going to fly, even though it just feels all cyberpunky.
Oh, it has a wonderful cyberpunk feel. But yeah, I'm wondering how if a government says, look, this is the law, we require you to do these things, which ultimately allows that government to perform malicious attacks on other countries. Are they really going to go against the law?
Yeah. Okay. And let's say that the home country gets into war with another country, actual war, or a hot cyber warfare, which is, you know, probably going to, you know, tank the economy, but you know, whatevs. Are these companies really not going to help their home country? Most of these companies are U.S. based, but I don't think all of them are. But if the United States gets into an actual war with Russia, China, and Iran, and I am in no way whatsoever advocating for such a war. Not even the tiniest little bit. But
you're just creating North a hypothetical.
Korea, yeah. Is Microsoft really not going to help the United States if called on to do so in the case of a war, Are they really not going to do that? Is Facebook really not going to do that?
Yeah.
Of course, you know, but none of these companies are hacker companies anyway. So, like, I don't know. It's like part hollow promise and part just who do you think you are? Like, am I wanting my cake and eat it too here?
You know, I think it's okay in this case to want your cake and to eat it too, because we're looking at, well, it sounds to me, in a manner of speaking, that these companies are trying to do the same thing, because it's not like HP or Microsoft. I don't know what sort of contracts HP has with the government, but Microsoft, we know they have a lot of government contracts because Windows.
Yeah, none of those contracts are for hacking services.
Right. So,
Cisco is the company we don't know that do the most. Oh yeah. We don't know that, but it's very doubtful.
Well, right.
We don't know that, but it is extraordinarily doubtful.
Okay. So if the United States is engaging in cyber hacking activity at a government level, which seems very likely.
Yes, it is. I would say that is beyond a doubt.
We
actually know that that's one of the things the NSA does, but go ahead.
What operating systems are they using as part of their hacking efforts?
So you're talking about consulting services.
No, I'm talking about, for instance, the actual operating systems. So what my assumption is that it's not just a single platform that Apple, or excuse me, the United States government is using. So that would tell me that they're using Windows. They're probably using Mac OS. They're probably using various flavors of Unix and Linux.
No.
So.
But there's the difference between selling a box with an OS on it, or even selling a license or a seat for an OS, and actually engaging in hacking services.
So are you saying that what these companies are saying is that if the government comes to them and says, we want you to do the hacking, they're going to say no? But they're selling products and services that allow the governments to engage in hacking activities.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're not addressing the latter point. They're claiming the former, but they don't provide those services to begin with.
So what's the point of this other than publicity?
I think the point of this other than the publicity is, seems like nation states are in this case, let's attack the big three, the US, the big four, the US, China, Russia, and the Brits.
Mm-hmm.
The UK, that they are getting to be more aggressive in what they're going to allow and possibly what they're going to demand. For instance, the Russians was that this week? Was today Thursday?
Today is Thursday.
Yeah, I think it was on Friday, a Russian court banned Telegram because...
So it was last Friday.
Yeah, and then on Monday... Russian ISPs, Russian telecommunications firms, began implementing blocks for Telegram.
Wow.
Because Telegram's encrypted and they wouldn't give the keys over to the Russian government.
Wow. Well, that doesn't bode well for all of the other end-to-end encryption messaging options.
It doesn't. Although, you know, it kind of begs the question. I mean, you know, Telegram counts as some of its customers, members of the Russian government, in addition to, opposition politicians and journalists.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the Russian government were using Telegram to speak to journalists, too. Like, I mean, as part of, you know, coordinated strategy, not in terms of leaks.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure leaks were being done too. Who knows? But where are they going to go?
Well, I guess that means WhatsApp is going to be in their targets next.
Maybe iMessage.
and iMessage, sure.
So that's happening. We know, of course, that China has been putting more and more demands on Western technology companies.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of noise, but no real movement to get law enforcement backdoors and encrypted communications and encrypted devices here in the States. The again, the Brits are really, really interested in compelling backdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems like these companies are looking at all this and they're saying, you know, we're multinational companies, but we're, you know, we're mostly based in the West. I think all of those companies are Western companies. There might have been a Russian company in there. Not positive on that. And we probably should start getting out in front of what we know or suspect is coming down the pipeline, and that is demands from these governments to basically play a role in their cyber activities. So let's stake out our ground now.
So if they're staking out their ground now, that tells me that they feel that there's a very real possibility that they're going to be asked to do these things. And it's not just, well, you know, what if it could happen down the road? They probably feel like this is imminent. And so they're drawing their line in the sand now.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you know, look at the chaos that we have in Washington, D.C. right now. And, you know, we have a government that lurches from, you know, crisis to crisis on an hourly basis. And, yeah. and an administration that is threatening war. So in addition to the much more steady steadily escalating practices that are happening outside the U.S. So yeah, they really could be looking at this as something that they could be asked to do soon, but at the same time, it's hollow. For one, you've got this mealy mouth innocent word, right? I mean, I think I would have had a lot more respect for this if they'd said, companies will not help governments launch cyber attacks against citizens and enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is an infinitely stronger statement than innocent citizens and enterprises. And who are they to decide who's innocent?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I suppose they may have been going for an emotional impact by calling out innocent people, but it sure does feel like it.
It's a mealy mouth backdoor.
Yeah, it waters down what they're saying.
Yeah. Now the stronger thing is the company's. The stronger statement is. And I'm quoting, the companies will mount a stronger defense. What does that mean? Stronger defense than what? Stronger. Not strong. But stronger. Than what?
That's, yeah, okay. Another good question. Do they mean another stronger than what we've been door. Doing? Stronger than what Walmart is doing?
Right. Stronger. I mean, that, oh man, I really hadn't caught that until just now. Mealy mouth backdoor. As part of this, recognizing that everyone deserves protection, the companies pledge to protect all customers globally, regardless of the motivation for attacks online. So, why even stake out this ground? All right, so. ISIS is a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States, Russia, and China, and Britain, and the entire world has come together in a unified effort to stop ISIS's online presence.
Mm-hmm.
And They've got warrants in every single country. They've passed laws that have all passed whatever passes for constitutional process in the local governments. So I'm coming up with this ridiculous hyperbolic situation here, right?
Yeah, I've already broken up my popcorn. You just keep rolling. Yeah.
And like everybody on the planet except ISIS is unified in the idea that that they're not going to let, they're going to stop ISIS from releasing some kind of pathogen that will kill 9 out of 10 people around the planet. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft is going to defend ISIS. Facebook is going to defend ISIS here. VMware is going to defend ISIS here. Cloudflare is going to defend ISIS here. Really? That's what you're going to do? The companies pledged to protect all customers globally, regardless of the motivation for attacks online.
Yeah. Now that part right there is a pretty big statement.
Well, it is, but I just gave you an example. Is that's a motivation for attack and they're going to protect their customer that way? Under those circumstances?
Yeah, your user base dwindles very quickly if they're all dead.
Well, I mean, it's just an empty statement. That's the thing. This whole thing is empty. It's without any real meaning, and the parts that do have meaning don't stand up to logical scrutiny.
Yeah, I'm sure this is part of the reason why Apple was like, yeah, we're not interested. But also, Apple doesn't sign stuff like this. That's just not how Apple rolls.
Well, that's true. But there are companies that I certainly have respect for. I mentioned earlier, Cloudflare is a company I like and respect. Yeah. GitHub is an organization I like and respect. Quite frankly, under Satya Nadella, I've come to have a grudging respect for Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Of course, you know, there was a kind of a low bar.
Well, yeah, to be fair, Satya Nadella didn't have to do much for us to go, wow, this is better.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think he's actually gone well above that very low bar.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't want to be.
Do we need to apply Chaffin's razor here?
Missing information?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, there probably is missing information, but I don't know that really applies here. I think this is mealy-mouthed nonsense. This is mealy-mouthed nonsense that is almost delusional in scope.
Okay, so here's another thing that I'm wondering about now as we've been talking through this. Is it possible that when all these companies said, okay, let's get together and make this strong statement, by the time all the company's attorneys were done going over the statement, this is what it became, and it isn't what the companies originally intended? If so, what a wonderful metaphor, because that's probably about how it would work out in the real world if all these companies were facing the possibility of having to help in some sort of cyber attack and then their defense just kind of fizzles out and now they're doing exactly what they're claiming not to do in this agreement.
Well, I don't think you have to go to such hyperbolic and ridiculous extremes as I was concocting.
Mm-hmm.
To find scenarios where this promise makes no sense.
Yeah, I can. How about if I come up with one that's probably very plausible, and that's some country that previously has not had a nuclear presence starts working on uranium refining, and so the United States government, the British government, some government goes to Microsoft or whoever, Cisco, and says, excuse me, they say, we need you to help us hack their system so that their machinery doesn't work and they stop refining, so they won't be able to produce weapons grade plutonium or uranium or whatever they're working on. Are they going to say no?
So that's an interesting question, because that is what I think these companies may really be trying to protect against, that perception, right? Because if people, in particular, this is dealing with, since so many of these companies are based here in the States. Mm-hmm. If customers outside the States felt like that was a real possibility, they wouldn't buy those products from these US based companies. I mean, this is an issue right now. We don't want to let the Chinese into our telecommunications infrastructure industry here, because we're worried, especially those companies that are owned by, or have either owned by the state or have the state have an interest in them. Mm-hmm. Right. We're worried about them using that position within our infrastructure against us, either passively now in terms of stealing secrets, or in the future if we ever had any kind of conflict. Right. We are actively worried about that. The Chinese, you remember all the kerfuffle over China wanting access to Apple's source code.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were worried about Apple essentially making being a spy for the U.S. government, and these Western controlled devices being used to spy on Chinese industry and the Chinese government. They're actively worried about that. Well, the Russians are worried about the same thing, right? The other Western governments are worried about the same thing in terms of China, right? I mean, these are active worries right now. And that's without that kind of scenario that you're talking about. Like there's almost no chance that Microsoft could, would, or even should willingly participate in that kind of activity, because it would essentially mean that Microsoft would be shut out of all kinds of foreign markets. For that same reason, the NSA doesn't want to ask Microsoft to do that. Right? Because they understand it. The NSA would rather be the lone wolf player that's orchestrating that without any kind of outside help, because then, things leak and information gets out, et cetera.
Sure. It also creates an uneven playing field, which gives the NSA an advantage, because they're doing stuff that other countries aren't, presumably, and maybe a step ahead of other countries in their own cyber or whatever tactics.
Yes. So that kind of scenario isn't likely to play out. But let me give you another example that is potentially more real world.
Okay.
The internet. Oh gosh, what's the Russian troll farm called?
Oh, I don't remember. Let's see.
Internet Research Agency. That's for sure. It. The Internet Research Agency.
Okay.
This is the Russian troll farm that was engaged in disrupting the 2016 elections and has been engaged in disrupting elections in Europe. And in particular, ignore the left-right stuff, except for the fact that they were particularly wanting to pit left and right together, against each other. Sorry. For instance, organizing protests, like the Internet Research Agency, a Russian troll farm, mm-hmm. organized protests and counter protests in Houston.
Isn't that just amazing?
Yes, it is amazing. Meaning the people on the left and right fell for the crap and showed up at these protests. And the whole point was just to get us fighting against one another. Right. So the Internet Research Agency, which is a real thing, a real known thing, known to be engaged in disruptive activities. So if the Internet Research Agency is a customer of Microsoft's or Cloudflare or Facebook or Dell or Symantec, are these companies vowing to protect them against our efforts, against the, say, the NSA's efforts to disrupt their activities?
Well,
according to this letter, yes.
It kind of looks like that, yeah.
So is that really the position that these people want to be in, these companies?
My guess is the answer is no. Yeah.
Yeah. There's just always like, why? I don't get this. And to me, it's no surprise that Google and Apple didn't sign on to this. Like I get what they're wanting to do, sort of what they think that they're doing even.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't hold up against any logical scrutiny whatsoever.
Which makes it really weird, because it's not like these are organizations filled up with like really stupid people. There are a lot of smart people. There are a lot of smart attorneys that are involved in this whole process. So what's the deal? Because this doesn't seem to make much sense.
Mm-mm. It really doesn't. It doesn't make much sense. It's mealy-mouthed. It sounds like, you know, I saw one mainstream headline that, you know, 34 tech companies sign on to, oh, goodness. Let's see if we can't find this. 34 tech companies.
Well, while you look it up, I just have to say
that. Can you hear me typing?
Yes, I can hear you typing. Yeah, as we continue to discuss this, I'm really feeling like Chaffin's razor has to apply here.
You know, I get where you're coming from on that. I really actually think this is just corporate stupidity.
That's so weird.
I think this is like not clever thinking, trying to address a problem that they recognize is coming down the pike.
Yeah, I guess.
So here are some of the headlines. My Facebook, Microsoft, and 32 other tech firms sign cybersecurity pledge. Okay, let's get to that. 34 major tech companies are uniting to fight cyber attacks. So, I mean, to a certain extent, There's a lot more of that. Microsoft, Facebook, Oracle, among 34 firms to join Cybersecurity Tech Accord. 34 tech companies create and sign Cybersecurity Tech Accord. So I guess they achieved what they wanted, right? They've got some kind of superficial. They've gotten very positive coverage. I think betrays a lack of sincere and rigorous scrutiny. Matter of fact, I'm thinking what I'm going to do, because I'm writing about this after the show. Like 34 tech companies make meaningless pledge to protect us or something like that. That's going to be my angle.
After our in-depth discussion about this, I'm thinking you're heading down the right path. I fully endorse your plan to write this piece. How's that sound?
Thanks.
Sure. Also really look forward to reading it.
So in the meanwhile, how much time are we at?
We have 15 minutes left.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, there is that Russian thing. This week, Financial Times of London reported that, no, that's where I read it first, but there was a, briefing, or there was a tech alert from the Department of Homeland Security, which is, the U.S.'s thing.
Yes, the U.S.'s thing. Thing, now from the U.S.
Yeah. Did you, by the way, did you look closely at my image?
Apparently, I really need to look closely at your image.
Yeah, you really should go look. Right, you need me to give you the link?
No, I'm. Oh wait, I'm. I just looked at the wrong image. Hold on. Yeah, give me a link. There we go.
Yeah, got your link. Got your link. Like no one noted the image, and I personally, I thought it was funny stuff.
That's actually really, really funny. What makes it funny for me, because I saw what image you had.
Uh-huh. But you thought it was real. You thought no. It was his head, his actual face that was just superimposed.
No, I just hadn't bothered to read the caption that went with it. Reading the caption, now it's really, really funny. I thought it was clever before.
Reenactment of a typical Russian hacker. It's this doll. It's like this Vladimir Putin doll in a hoodie.
Mm-hmm. It's really funny.
So anyway, Tech Alert came from four organizations: U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the U.K.'s National Cybersecurity Center, the FBI, and the White House itself. Jointly announced that Russian hackers are laying the groundwork for future cyber attacks and spying on Western governments. So they basically are compromising everything that they can right now. They're in the active process of compromising as much infrastructure equipment as they can, all in what is believed by those four organizations to be an effort to lay the groundwork for a future attack if necessary.
On one hand, is this really news? Did we
well, apparently this was it was a broad escalation of attacks.
Yeah,
that's what the news is.
So,
like, in other words, there was a big wave of attempts to compromise equipment.
So through intelligence channels, we know this is happening. And we have all these tech companies saying, not us, we're not helping.
Well, no. Okay. Now I got to see, cause now I got to flip that around, because in theory, they would be protecting against these attacks regardless of the party doing it and the reason, the motivations for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those companies would all be trying to protect against these attacks. According to the pledge.
According to the pledge, yes. So,
you know, and that's an example of a time, of course, where most of those people who are listening to this show, including us, would want them to protect.
Right. So, so now we have a potential scenario where every time some foreign or domestic actor is trying to engage in some sort of cyber, I'll call it cyber warfare, just for sake of discussion. Now these companies are going to decide on a case-by-case basis if they're going to support them or not?
No, it's the other way around. They're going to support them no matter what, is what they're saying. They're going to protect. They're going to protect against that cyber warfare no matter what. No matter the motivations for the attack, they will help protect against it. So, in theory, they would help protect against any attacks by the NSA against the actors who are trying to compromise these systems, too. According to what they're saying.
So for Russia, that could be great. Because now they don't have to worry about the NSA trying to hamper.
Well, no, they still have to worry about it, but they might, you know, they might have a friend in Microsoft and Facebook and VMware.
You're totally ruining my hyperbolic statements, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah. So Russia is in the middle of doing this. We are in the. I mean, like, you know. There's so much about today that is straight out of a William Gibson novel. 90.
Isn't that,
it doesn't feel like it because everything just feels normal to us because this is normal. But these companies declaring themselves essentially a separate from nation states, that's cyberpunk as heck.
Yeah, it totally is.
State-sponsored hackers compromising huge numbers of infrastructure equipment so that they can use them in the event of any kind of war or maybe even just to cause chaos and disruption.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberpunk as heck.
Yeah, totally. And I'm betting Gibson is taking notes. He's like, oh man, why didn't I think of that?
Probably. Yeah, that seems actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
So now in the middle of all this, Facebook was a signatory to this, whatever. Andrew Orr did a review of MeWe.
Mm-hmm.
Which everybody seems to, like you and I at least, both have. And I think two other people in our morning meeting had difficulty getting their name correct.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking maybe the name isn't all that great, but whatever. MeWe, a new social network. And look, you and I were talking about whether or not to talk about this during the show.
Uh-huh.
And my immediate negative Nelly reaction was like, another social network, who cares? So we decided to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I think I've become desensitized to social networks, new social networks in general, because it feels like they all come along with the same promises and
free us from Facebook.
Free us from Facebook. You are not the product. Your data is safe. And then they fizzle out.
There's a little bit of attention for about a week.
Mm-hmm. We do the land grab to get our names so no one else has them.
Yep. Don't want anyone else to get our names.
And then like 6 months later, I get an email saying, someone commented to you on Elo or whatever the social network is. And I'm like, I don't remember that one. Did I even sign up for that?
Yeah.
And
so here's the dirty secret.
Uh-huh.
We all want to bitch about Facebook, but we don't actually want to leave Facebook.
Well, no, of course we don't want to leave Facebook. Even when we say we want to leave Facebook, we don't want to leave because
even when we say we're going to leave Facebook, sometimes even when we said we left Facebook, we don't really.
Yeah. Well, when we leave, we've now isolated ourselves.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think that people have been giving these alternative social networks a good faith effort. Some people have given them a good faith effort.
Mm-hmm.
Good faith effort. Yet not enough of us do. I mean, I remember I tried to do Elo for a good couple of weeks.
Sort of. Yeah. And yeah, I'm trying to remember the one that that was just a couple months ago.
Yeah, Vero, wasn't it?
Vero. I went and looked at on my iPhone to see if I still had the app. That one was such a pain. It was
terrible interface.
Oh yeah, so buggy.
I'm still not sure I actually successfully registered.
I'm still not sure if I successfully ever posted.
Yeah, so good times. I seeing all the headlines about MeWe, I wasn't even inclined to look into it because it's like, whatever, nothing's going to happen. I know that, you know, I'm a cynical journalist, I suppose. I try not to be, for sure, but I can certainly be subject to the forces of cynicism and of being jaded. It would probably be a better term, but Microsoft has so much, you know what it's going to take, dude?
Hmm.
You know what it's going to take? It's going to take a completely different paradigm to disrupt Facebook or Twitter.
I wonder what that would be.
Like, do you remember Windows was unstoppable?
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time. And certainly there were, you know, Steve Ballmer's gross mismanagement of the Windows platform and Microsoft as a whole contributed towards that. But the big, the thing that broke Windows's hold on computing was mobile computing, specifically in the form of iOS. Mm-hmm. And then of course the copycat of Android. Mm-hmm. Right. It's that paradigm shift that really succeeded in making everybody go stop caring about Windows.
Right. Which then pushed Microsoft into creating the Metro interface, which I know some people don't like it, but I think it was really innovative. It just didn't scale well to large screen devices.
I've definitely met a person who likes Metro. Or the principles of Metro. I don't know if it's still called Metro anymore.
Yeah, I don't think it's called Metro anymore.
I think I got a name change, to be honest.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's going to take some other form of bringing people together to displace Facebook. At this point, Facebook has too much momentum, too much inertia to be dethroned by an upstart. It's going to take something that makes people think completely differently about the same needs that Facebook satisfies today for any other platform to be able to gain significant steam.
All right. So what that means is that everyone that's thinking about creating the new social network that's going to be the Facebook killer, you need to think beyond Facebook and Twitter. You need to think beyond. Yeah,
you need to not just want to be trying to do Facebook better. Or yeah. Different. It's got to be something completely different.
Yeah. And so far, everything that's been coming along and saying, hey, we're the Facebook killer, you know, in whatever wording they want to use, they're just duplicating the models that Facebook and Twitter are already using.
Yeah, with twists.
Yeah. But those twists aren't enough to make them Facebook killers.
Mm-mm. Nope. And I don't see that changing. I don't see the only thing that could change it would be some sort of calamitous event that dwarfs the scandals that we've seen so far. I mean, Google couldn't beat them with Google Plus.
And even with congressional hearings with Zuckerberg sitting there drinking his water and looking really creepy, Facebook isn't losing momentum.
Mm-mm, not at all. Maybe a little bit.
All right. Well, now the challenge is out there. Create a social network that is... Mm-mm. No, create the new thing that replaces the social network.
Yes.
There we go.
Yep. And that's probably going to require the next big leap in computer interfaces.
So what's going to knock Facebook and Twitter off their pedestals is the Oasis.
What's the Oasis?
That's the virtual reality world or universe in Ready Player One.
Ah. Well, and to be fair, that's one reason why Microsoft bought Oculus.
Because they wanted to make the Oasis.
Yeah. Or, you know, might not have specifically been that book, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. They bought Oculus long before the movie was even in the works.
Yes, but they bought it well after the book had been out.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that they didn't read Ready Player One and think, OMG, we have to do this. It's just, that's the wonderful pop culture reference that I get to throw around today.
Yeah, I've got a vague idea, but it's not quite coming out.
Okay, well, when it does, let's flesh it out on the show so people know that it's your idea and they can't steal it.
Yeah.
And then, like in 2 or 3 years, everyone's going to be consumed with Brian Land.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to go hang out with you on Anachronism World.
I so want to hang out on Anachronism World.
All right. Well, we need to start a Kickstarter so we can make Brian Land a thing.
That's great. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, that was loads of fun.
Indeed.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at ecm at macobserver.com and, or the Facebook group thing, facebook.com/group/context machine. Hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.